To prepare for the word is going to be shared with us today by Harold Horst as he brings the reading to us. Let's open our hearts to meet with him. Janelle, you can go on over.
From the Word of God this morning, I'll be reading from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. The Apostle John writes, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him."
Thank you, Harold. And we know that the Lord always adds his blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for its truth, its power, its life. Lord, as we open in your word again this morning, we ask your blessing upon it, that through your word, you would encourage our hearts. Through your word, we would just be reminded again of the wonderful God that you are. That we'll be reminded again of the greatness of your love for us. And our hearts would be prepared to come and to meet with you and to receive by you from you at your table again this morning. Thanking you for the grace that you have shown to us through Jesus. And that wonderful way that you have provided for us that we can know you personally. So thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for life through him. And thank you for your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The city of Jerusalem was full of excitement, for Passover time was coming. People traveling from all over the known Roman world to come to the city of Jerusalem for that celebration in honor and celebration of the deliverance of Israel from captivity in Egypt. And the reminder of the Passover lamb that was shed. And that time of great excitement and anticipation was filling the air as Passover time was dawning. But this particular Sunday, the excitement in town was even greater. Because just a few days before, just the day before this, John told us, Jesus had gathered with Mary and Martha at their home. And they had a meal together in celebration of Lazarus being brought back to life again. And the news of Lazarus, who was dead, being raised to life again, was spreading throughout the area. And people were excited and they heard about Jesus and who he was and what he has come to do. So Passover time was coming. The city of Jerusalem was bulging with excitement. And people beginning to wonder, will Jesus come? Will he appear? Will he come to the city? Will he come and observe the Passover celebration? And into the midst of that celebration of deliverance and life, Jesus comes. Riding on a donkey into the city amidst the praise of the people, palm branches waving, Hosanna is a praise to the Lord, and the excitement of that first Palm Sunday. The day we remember and celebrate today as we look back, beginning Holy Week, and Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem amidst the celebration and praise. And it is a time to celebrate. Today we come to celebrate that event, remembering again what happened on Palm Sunday, amidst the people proclaiming him as king. But we also come to celebrate at his table. And it's fitting that we begin Holy Week by remembering what Jesus did, because he entered into Jerusalem that day amidst the praise as people proclaimed him king for the purpose of giving his life for us. And it's fitting as we celebrate once again our King, because it is a royal celebration, and his table really is a royal celebration. It's a time to dine and to celebrate with our King, and to sit down at his table and commune with him, and to remember him and what he's done for us, and the price that it cost God, our Father, for you and me to know him personally. Lest we forget. And Jesus gave us this way to remember him. And it's good for us at times to pause and just to remember again the cost of our salvation, the cost of what our relationship with Christ meant to God and to us. So let's look at this story again this morning, a story that Harold read for us that all four Gospels include a significant event in the life of Christ. Because as we join this celebration today, there's three things I want us to remember and to consider and to celebrate as we prepare to come to the table this morning. And first, we celebrate the fact that our King, that we believe in, our King Jesus, brings us deliverance. Maybe that's the greatest thing of all to celebrate, the fact that God, our King, brings us deliverance. That's what the city was celebrating on this Palm Sunday. As Passover was coming, they were celebrating the deliverance that had come through the shedding of the Passover lamb. And God delivering them out of bondage and slavery after 400 years. And they were celebrating their deliverance from bondage. And the crowd broke out, and John was the only one, and mentions in verse 13, John was the only one who mentioned palm branches. And it's from that we call this day Palm Sunday. The other gospel writers just say branches. But they took palm branches and they began to wave them and say, "Hosanna." And the celebration was full of joy because Jesus was coming. And many were looking to him that day because John tells us they misunderstood what the day was about. John said that even the disciples didn't understand what was happening on this particular day, because they were looking for Jesus to bring deliverance from Rome. And they were looking to him to be a mighty king riding into the city to destroy Rome. Now was the time, they thought, that their deliverance from the tyranny of Rome had come. And they waved the palm branches, and the waving of palm branches was a nationalistic thing. It was symbolic. It started a couple hundred years before when Judas Maccabeus led a revolt against the Syrians and drove them out of Jerusalem. And the waving of palm branches was a symbolic thing. Today it would be like us waving the flag. And what was happening here was all the people waving the palm branches thought, "Oh, the king has come. Deliverance is here. Rome is doomed. And we are going to be set free." And they were looking for physical deliverance. But that's not why Jesus came. Not the first time. When he comes again, that day will come. But right now, Jesus entered the city to bring deliverance from our sin, to set us free from the sin that has bound us, has enslaved us, and kept us in chains. And today, as we come to the table again, we remember and celebrate our deliverance through the bread and the cup. That Jesus said, "As often as you do this, you remember me. This is my body broken for you. My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin." That is something to celebrate, friends, isn't it? That we have been delivered from sin. We have been delivered from darkness. We've been delivered from the torment of hell and have given that hope of eternal life. That is indeed something to celebrate. So come today rejoicing in your deliverance through Christ, our Savior, our King, who has set us free. That is indeed worth celebrating and worth remembering. Jesus said we do that. It was a time of celebration. The word Hosanna, they sang Hosanna. That word Hosanna means save now. It was like saying, "God save the King." We thank God for the deliverance that we have through Christ. But we not only celebrate our King who delivers us, but we celebrate our King who is faithful. We have a King who set us free from sin and saved us, but we have a King who is faithful to His word, who is faithful to His promises, and is faithful to do what He said He would. That's something to celebrate as well. Notice as he went on in verse 14 and 15. It says, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, meaning in fulfillment to what God promised, in fulfillment to His word. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. That's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That we have a King, we have a God, we have a Savior, Jesus, that we celebrate today who was faithful to us. He can be trusted. He can be trusted with all that we are going through in life. He can be trusted to keep His word. The disciples, like many in the crowd, did not understand, but He is in control. If you would look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, in Matthew chapter 21 and Mark chapter 11 or in Luke chapter 19, they're the parallel passages of this event. And if you look into Luke's or Matthew, Mark's account, they tell us that Jesus said to His disciples, go into the city and you're going to find a colt tied there that nobody's ridden on yet. And when you find that colt, untie it and bring it to me. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, just say the Lord needs it. And they'll send it to you directly. What does that teach us? Well, it teaches us that the events of Palm Sunday were not coincidental to Christ. That He was very much into control of these events. He even knew in His omniscience the donkey, where it would be, and how to bring it in. And God, our Lord, is in control of everything. And so He's in control in your life and mine that we can trust Him with that. We don't have to feel that In a world that seems spinning out of control around us, that we have a God who has it all in His plan. We have a God who we can trust. We have a God who can rely on because He's in control, but He also knows what we really need. As He rode into the city that day, the people proclaiming Him King, shouting His praises, waving the palm branches like waving the flag, saying, our deliverers come, we're going to be set free from Rome, now's the time. That wasn't why Jesus came. He chose this day because this was the day that the Passover lambs were to be chosen for slaughter. Jesus knew that as the final Passover lamb, that was what we needed, was we needed salvation. And He came on a donkey, not on a horse, but on a donkey, giving Himself for us as the final Passover lamb, as the final sacrifice, so that our sins could be forgiven and completed. We remember that again this day through the bread and the cup, that our God who knows what we really need, but He also a God who keeps His word. It says as He entered the city and sat on it as it is written. He's faithful to His word. He keeps His promises. He can be trusted. And as you take the bread and as you take the cup again this morning, celebrate the fact that you have a faithful God. Not only does He keep His word, but He is faithful to forgive us. That's what His grace is all about. That 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for that? That's something to celebrate again through the bread and cup. And as you receive it, just thank God for His faithfulness to you, His faithfulness to me, His faithfulness that He keeps His word. We can trust Him. Our King brings deliverance. Our King can be trusted. But also as we come to celebrate on this day, we celebrate the fact that our King reveals God's heart. He reveals what God's heart really is about as we look at verse 16. It says at first the disciples did not understand this. They like the people, rest of the people in the crowd, did not understand what was really happening on Palm Sunday. And you wonder, on this day, on Sunday morning, you had the people proclaiming Jesus as king, ready to crown him as king, and say, Messiah has come. Within 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later, you had the same crowd saying, crucify him. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And the disciples as well didn't understand it. It said only after Jesus was glorified or risen did they realize that these things had been written about him and that he had done these things to them. It's only later did they understand, when they understood the plan. Because our King reveals the heart. And as the disciples look back, they realized that God's plan was being fulfilled in their very eyes, but they didn't understand it at the time. That God's plan was not to bring a deliverance from Rome, but to bring salvation. And that God's heart is to seek and to save the lost. That God's heart is to serve. We see it as Jesus came on a donkey. He came to serve and to sacrifice. He didn't enter the city of Jerusalem on a white horse as a military conqueror, but on a donkey, the beast of service and sacrifice. That Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Through the shedding of the blood, through the breaking of the bread, we see again God's heart revealed. That God's heart broken for us. His blood poured out for us that we could have forgiveness, that we could be in relationship with him. Praise God for his grace. That our King reveals God's heart because our King is on a rescue mission. And his rescue mission is to seek and to save the lost. Revealed in the breaking of the bread. And on the day of Jesus' resurrection, it says that the disciples did not understand this until Jesus was glorified. On the day of Jesus' resurrection, Easter Sunday afternoon, we had a disciple by the name of Cleopas and a friend of his who were walking back from Jerusalem, had just witnessed all the events of Palm Sunday, perhaps, and the crucifixion, and they were talking about all these things that had just occurred, and it did not make sense to them. And finally it says that Jesus appeared in the midst and started talking to them. And they didn't realize it was Jesus. And they were carrying on a conversation with Jesus about these things that occurred. And Jesus shared with them how throughout the scripture God had said in his plan that he was going to send the Redeemer. But it didn't dawn on them and they didn't realize it was Jesus till when they sat at the table and they broke the bread. And through the breaking of the bread, it was revealed. I get it. God's heart is revealed right here at his table. That Jesus came, was broken for us, blood shed that we could be forgiven. The mystery of the ages. It's Paul called it the mystery of the ages that was kept hidden, that is God is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate. God's heart revealed through Christ. God's heart revealed right here through his table that he has prepared for you and me. Something to celebrate, that God loves you that much. He loved you so much that he sent his only son to give his life on the cross. And if you were the only person that ever lived, Jesus would have died for you. How awesome is that? And how great is that? Isn't that something to celebrate this morning? So as we come to his table, we come to receive, we come to remember, we come to celebrate. Celebrate our King who delivered you through sin, of your sin. Who is faithful to his word, faithful to his promise, and faithful to you to forgive. And he has revealed God's heart for you, that he loves you so much that he came to seek and save you. He left heaven to come for you, that we could be forgiven. The bread and the cup, visible reminders of that, and of the greatness of that love. And that is what we celebrate as we celebrate our King this morning. As we do on Communion Sundays, as is our custom, we join together in a time of prayer, of confession and consecration. If you're able and want to, you can kneel, or if you can remain in your seat, that's fine. If you'd like to kneel, if you want to just remain seated, but let's join together in a time of prayer. As you were kneeling or seated before the Lord, take this time to prepare your heart to meet the Lord at his table this morning. Just thank him for his love and grace for you. Just take this moment to worship him and give him glory. And the scripture says before we come to his table, we need to examine ourselves and make sure that we are in a right relationship with God and those around us. Take this moment to examine your heart and ask the Lord to reveal to you if there's anything that you need to confess or make right at this moment, that the words of your mouth and the meditation of our heart would be pleasing and acceptable to him. Oh, Father, as we come before you this morning, we celebrate Jesus, our King, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has delivered us from our sin, from the bondage of darkness, and has set us free. We thank you for that, that sin no longer has power over us, sin no longer holds us captive, but we have been set free. We have also been set free from the sting of death, that we know that we have life eternal with you. We thank you and praise you that deliverance has come. And that's what we celebrate on this Palm Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus revealing your heart to us. Your heart of love. That you loved us so much that you gave. You gave your only Son, Jesus, that we could be forgiven. That we could have life with you and know you personally. And we thank you that you are faithful, that you can be trusted. You keep your word. You are in control. We can rely on you. And that's something to celebrate. You never let us down. You never fail. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the bread and the cup. Visible reminders this morning of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. Of reminding us that he was that final Passover lamb, of why he came into the city on that first Palm Sunday, coming in the midst of the crowd who did not understand, for the purpose of being our suffering servant, our Savior, giving his life for us. We thank you for the bread and for the cup. We consecrate it to you. We thank you for it, and as we receive this morning, prepare our hearts to receive by faith in celebration of what you've done for us, of your grace bestowed upon us through Jesus. Lord, we confess our sins to you and thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We consecrate ourselves to you again, anew and afresh, as your disciples this morning. But as you reminded us, if we want to follow you, we need to take up your cross daily and humble ourselves and follow you. So, Lord, we take up your cross again. We deny ourselves so that we can live for you. Because you died for us, we live for you and give all back to you. So at your table this morning in celebration and remembrance and thanksgiving, because we come, Lord, with joy in our hearts. This is not a sad time, but it's a joyful time for us to remember and to celebrate all that you've done for us. So we come with thanksgiving before you today, thanking you for Jesus, the life we have through you, and our life, the privilege we can live as your disciples today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.